This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Boats are back on the Potomac, part of the investigation into the D.C. plane crash that killed 67 people this week. ABC's Karen Travers has more on whether President Trump plans to visit the crash site.
President Trump told me in the Oval Office he would be meeting with some of the families of the victims.
Young people, great athletes, great skaters, very sad situation from numerous countries.
I asked if he would go to the site of the crash.
I have a plan to visit, not the site, because what's the site? The water?
Or to meet with the first responders.
Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
President Trump blames FAA diversity initiatives in part for the crash. On the same day that Kash Patel was answering questions about why he thinks he would be a good FBI director, sources tell ABC News multiple FBI officials have been given an ultimatum, either resign or risk being demoted or fired. Many of them were promoted by the previous FBI director. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A number of wildfires have broken out across Wisconsin this week. With more, here's Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
When it's dry and windy, the risk of wildfires increases. And while January may not be peak wildfire season in Wisconsin, a line starting at the top of Door County and the northern edge of Brown County, all the way across the state and then southward towards the Illinois border, has been classified as a moderate fire risk by the DNR. Usually, the ground would be covered in snow right now, but warmer days and the second driest January on record make the conditions prime for a spark from a motor or a cigarette to cause a wildfire. For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale.
The southern two-thirds of the state, including the Cooley region, is considered to be at moderate risk for wildfires today. Another Toma School District school was placed on hold after a bullet was found in a bathroom Thursday. Students were held in classrooms while law enforcement investigated any potential threats and searched for weapons at Toma Middle School on Thursday. No threat or weapons were found. Last week, Toma High School had to be placed on hold after bullets were found in a bathroom there, making it the second time in just 6 days that ammunition was found in a Toma School District building. The city of La Crosse is set to take action next week on a new ordinance banning the release of balloons. According to a proposed ordinance document filed at the city's Judicial and Administrative Committee, the ban would apply to outdoor releases of balloons lighter than air. It carves out exceptions for scientific or weather balloons, as well as hot air balloons. Mayor Mitch Reynolds said that the balloons released outdoors end up polluting the environment and can affect grazing livestock. Today we'll have mild temperatures in the Cooley region with highs in the 40s. Tomorrow there's a chance of snow overnight into Sunday with accumulations under an inch expected. After a mild Sunday, we'll head back towards more seasonable temperatures Monday and Tuesday with highs in the 20s to low 30s. We'll have more details coming up in our Civic Media forecast.
You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go by downloading the free app. Get it now at civicmedia.us or on your device's app store.
For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Packers lose a defensive coach. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers linebacker and run defense coordinator Anthony Campanelli is leaving Green Bay to become defensive coordinator of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Campanelli asked what's one of the biggest things he's learned as an NFL assistant coach.
Everybody has a different personality. I think that's part of being a coach is understanding that you don't coach everybody the exact same way. It just doesn't work that way.
On offense, former Vikings quarterback Sean Mannion expected to become Jordan Love's quarterback coach. Tom Clements retired last week. NBA, the Bucks in San Antonio to take on the Spurs. Damian Lillard named to the All-Star team as a reserve. Lillard talked about missing out on a chance to meet former UFC boxing champ Conor McGregor at the Jazz game the other night.
I didn't even know he was there. That's what was crazy. It's like we came back in here after the game and they was talking about it and I didn't even see him. And I'm a big Conor McGregor fan too, so I would have had some questions for him.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Bright, beautiful, and still mild today with highs soaring to the low 40s. While it may be cooler than yesterday, it's still well above average. And heads up, we have snow moving in tomorrow afternoon. It'll be light, less than a half an inch, and it could flip to a wintry mix and rain by Saturday night. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 39.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Donald Trump did not campaign on stopping Meals on Wheels to homebound seniors. He did not tell you he was going to cut road safety projects or state-based homeland security initiatives. But that was always the plan. And while a judge late yesterday hit the pause button, it has been a busy 18 hours as people and agencies and businesses took in that gut punch.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media's own Luke Mathers, who will take a quiz about his beloved state of Wisconsin. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Terry Barr joins with new music. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Eagle, 1490 AM.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Dan Schaefer in for the vacation, and Greg Bach and Calvin Butenhoff on the board, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. Just a reminder, you can stay up to date with all the latest news in Wisconsin, and all you have to do is subscribe to the Civic Media Digest. Our news team does a great job curating news specific to where you are in Wisconsin. So if you're in La Crosse or Eau Claire or Butternut, did you know there's a Butternut, Wisconsin?
I did not. I'm learning things today.
There's a Butternut, Wisconsin. It just makes me happy to know that that's there. Wherever you are, go to civicmedia.us/email and sign up to get the Civic Media Digest. It is completely free. Very excited to welcome our next guest. Emily Mills is here. Emily has a column in the Recombobulation area, which Dan Schaefer is also the founder of. And talking about the Enbridge pipeline, Emily, and whether or not it's time to go. Good morning, and thank you for joining us, first of all.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. It's great to be here.
So tell us about your article and the Enbridge pipeline.
Boy, where to start? So it's kind of an ongoing saga. Enbridge is a Canadian oil company that operates many, many pipelines that come in and out of the United States. There's two main ones you're going to be hearing about in the news a lot recently, which is Line 5 and Line 6. And my article basically digs into kind of the most recent piece of news, which was Line 6 had a massive spill in Wisconsin in Jefferson County late last year. It was considered the largest oil spill in Wisconsin history. And looking at that and the fact that these pipelines spill pretty often, and it causes, you know, fairly serious environmental damage and has economic impacts and whatnot. And Enbridge also has a history of not being forthcoming about those spills, but they did report this one to the DNR. And for some reason, the DNR 3 days after that then approved a permit for a reroute of Line 5, which was different. That's the one that runs up kind of through Ashland and Bayfield and then into Michigan. And so there's a lot of conversation and I think understandable consternation about approving a permit for this company with a pretty checkered history of safety on these pipelines and the fact that they're quite old. I believe Line 5 itself is about 70 years old. And whether or not they're economically viable to keep around at this point, given the threats to our environment that they pose. There's a lot going on around with a Bad River Band opposing the pipeline had been cutting through their land in violation of the end of any agreement that they had back in 2013, but Enbridge kept doing it. There's also a lot of conversation, I think, in Michigan trying to prevent, Enbridge wants to basically bore a huge tunnel under the Straits of Mackinac to continue this pipeline, which also poses enormous danger to, you know, the Great Lakes. So that's the nutshell capsule recap of the column and what I get into and sort of some of the reports about this just not being economically or environmentally a good idea to keep these around. But Enbridge continues to fight tooth and nail to keep these pipelines up and running.
Yeah. So part of what I found interesting about this piece when I was, you know, working with you on it is there's a couple levels to this, right? So there's one level that's just like, you know, fossil fuel companies, oil pipelines, there's kind of the existential threat that these types pose, right? But there's also like the practical impacts of this and like this happening, you know, the approval happening just days after the largest oil spill on record. And as you talk about in the piece, 1,650 barrels and nearly 70,000 gallons of oil released from Line 6 in Jefferson County. One of those stories that I would say kind of flew under the radar, you know, as so many, there's a few other things going on in the world right now.
I guess that might be
grabbing our attention a little bit. But you have the largest oil spill on record in the history of the state of Wisconsin. And then days later, this is approved. But there's kind of another level to this, too, which is that you get into in the piece and you talked about how it's not really even greed alone as the driving force behind Enbridge's refusal to shut down the pipeline. And so explain that piece to me.
Yeah. So it's complex as I was looking at this, because there are independent studies of the economic, you know, feasibility of continuing to run this pipeline, especially given now that they've been ordered to do this massive reroute around the Bad River Reservation, and the tunnel project that I mentioned before under the Straits of Mackinac. The cost of that has like tripled from the original estimate. So the costs associated with upgrading, maintaining, rerouting, et cetera, are astronomical, frankly, and even for a wealthy oil company to continue with that. And so the independent report from the Institute for Energy Economics and Financial Analysis also just took a look at the cost of all of this with the pipeline and sort of the futures for oil and natural gas, and basically came to the conclusion that it didn't make financial sense for Enbridge to continue it. It would make more sense to simply retire the pipeline. And so my theory is there's a bit of the sunk cost fallacy playing in here, where if you haven't heard of that particular fallacy, it's basically just the, you know, insistence on continuing to do something because you've invested so much time and energy into it, regardless of the fact that at some point it becomes illogical to continue to do it. And I sometimes wonder if that's
something that I'm doing as a Brewers fan, where it's like, you know, I'm going to watch 162 yeah. games and then watch them lose in the playoffs or whatever. Right.
Yeah. Although I would call that a relatively harmless
that's true.
application of the sunk cost fallacy
that's
in
true.
Comparison.
My time but is not like valuable anyway. So, yeah.
I mean, yeah, we're all prone to this, more or less. And it just has much larger impacts when a multinational oil company doubles down on it. And I feel like this is sort of the story of our reliance on fossil fuels in general, as we're seeing sort of backsliding from most of the major fossil fuel companies that had made all these big commitments to, you know, transfer to renewables and draw down emissions, et cetera, et cetera. And Enbridge is one of many that their emissions have actually been going up. And these companies have been walking away from these commitments. And of course, now seeing signals from the current administration that that's fine, they can do that. And we're going to regress back into just using as many fossil fuels as we can while we can, so those people can get rich. And, you know, to me, again, it's like, even on the economic side, like, yeah, you might get a little richer in the immediate future, but this is, if you're just looking at pure economics, it still doesn't make sense. But to me, there's a lot more that goes into it than pure economics. There's a lot of human cost, natural world costs. We're talking about wrecking entire watersheds and ecosystems and the largest freshwater system on Earth in the Great Lakes in this case.
And I hate to be the one to point this out, but right now, fresh water is our most valuable resource. Even worse, it is even more so than oil. It absolutely, fresh water is the new gold.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm a fan of the Great Lakes. The Straits of Mackinac. I took a great trip with my family to Mackinac Island a year and a half ago or so. I would not like those types of ecosystems to be threatened in any way, right? And so I think, you know, it's obviously, I think that this is a bigger story than people are really giving it credit for like the impact on the Midwest as a region too, right? Is that the way you see it too, Emily?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, so I, you know, working in sort of environmental fields, and you really get an understanding of watershed level thinking and how connected everything is. We're not talking about, you know, the oil spill is in this one spot, but that seeps into aquifers and contaminates generations of wildlife and plants, and also has impacts on the people who live there and draw their water from wells. And, you know, these companies can do a certain amount of remediation, but there's no returning an ecosystem to the state it was in prior to the damage that was done. These are places that take millions of years to be what they are. And there's nothing in our human lifetimes we can do to restore that once it's been damaged or removed. And I mentioned in the article, Wisconsin has lost, you know, 50% of its original wetlands since settlement by Europeans in the 1800s. And we just really can't afford to lose more of them. So wetlands are one of the biggest things that's threatened with the Line 5 reroute up in Ashland and Bayfield and whatnot. As Bad River Band has pointed out, you know, they won their lawsuit to get the reroute done around their reservation, but they're still fighting because they recognize that that reroute would still impact the entire Bad River watershed and Lake Superior itself if there was a leak. And, you know, if you've had a chance to see the Bad River film, which I highly recommend, it shows you very, very clearly what that looks like and what the threats are, because there's currently a section of this pipeline that's practically exposed on a riverbank, just about to hang out in the air, and would be very, very easy to have a spill that would go right into the river and into the lakes. And that impacts all of us, impacts recreation, economics, cultural, you know, impacts all of it. And it's just not something you can easily fix once it's done.
If you're just joining us, Emily Mills is our guest. She has a column in the Recombobulation area called Turn Off the Spigots about Enbridge and the Enbridge pipelines. If you would like to join the conversation, 855-752-4842. Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Good morning, Cindy. Do you have a question for Emily?
Well, I just wanted to tell her thank you for saying how once one of our ecosystems has been damaged, we can't replace it. It takes millions and millions of years. I've been telling this to people for years. You cannot mediate something like that. It's just like if you take a wetland, you can't take a wetlands and destroy it and then create another wetland somewhere else. I mean, it just doesn't happen that way. Like you say, it's taken millions and millions of years through the earth to create these ecosystems. And I'm so tired of people telling me we can remediate that stuff. No, you can't. And I did see the Bad River documentary, and it is extremely frightening. So thank you for what you're doing today. The word needs to get out there.
Appreciate it, Cindy. Thank you so much for checking in. I always appreciate you listening. We're going to go to a break in just a second, Emily. When we come back, I want to talk about all the money that Wisconsin is making from the Enbridge pipeline that's running through our land. I'm sure it's just billions and billions of dollars. And then I want to hear, I can hear the screeching now from people saying our gas prices are going to go up if we shut down these pipelines. I have a rebuttal for that on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't help. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. James,
you're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Last April, federal cybersecurity agency CISA issued warnings to election officials on how to combat a Russian online scheme to mislead American voters in the 2024 election. CISA is now under attack by its own administration. The Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency Act was signed by President Donald Trump in 2018, with part of its mission to protect election systems. It played a vital role in hardening state and local computer systems prior to the 2024 election, supporting state election officials, and monitoring hacking and disinformation campaigns perpetrated by Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. After the 2020 election, it refuted Trump's false claims that the 2020 election was manipulated. Trump fired its director, and CISA was targeted by Project 2025 for a dramatic overhaul, with some conservatives calling for the agency's elimination. Just before inauguration, President Biden issued an executive order requiring new CISA cybersecurity standards be implemented, but Trump immediately revoked it January 20th. CISA's highly qualified director, Jen Easterly, resigned on Inauguration Day. New Secretary of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, said in her confirmation hearing, CISA had strayed from its mission by monitoring disinformation. As governor of South Dakota, she refused federal funding to harden cyber systems, calling it wasteful spending. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor, in for Greg Bach, and Caliente on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter after the 11:30 news. We're going to talk about the Green and Gold movie. It opens up today. Should be a lot of fun. It's getting a lot of buzz about a farmer who essentially puts his farm on the line, betting on the Green Bay Packers. So that is in theaters today. We'll talk about that. We'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the 'tis the season, yet another reason not to move to Florida. That's coming up at the very end of the show. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Jane Says, JaneSays. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. That's the email you want to use if you have a suggestion for a guest or something going on in your community you think needs a spotlight, or if you just want to complain about something, I'll make sure that Kelvin sees it. So send it to Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Our guest is Emily Mills. She has a column in the Recombobulation area called Turn Off the Spigot. It's high time to shut down Enbridge's oil pipelines in Wisconsin. Emily, before we went to the break, I can hear people screeching, saying, oh my God, if we shut down these pipelines, the price of gas is going to go up because we're not going to be producing enough gas. That's not accurate. The pipelines are merely a delivery system for the gas that is being produced in Canada. So shutting down the pipeline is not going to affect the amount of gas that is being produced, correct?
As far as I understand it, that is correct, yes.
And I think,
I mean, I think,
I, but I think that's what I think that's people hear it and they think, well, now my gas prices are going to go up because this pipeline is gone. And aren't these pipelines essentially routing this Canadian gas and oil out of our country?
That's a good question. I think there are valid economic concerns with this. I do want to actually say, like, there is an economic impact to losing these. And I think most of it has to do more with industry in terms of the availability of things like diesel for and things for refineries to you know, there are jobs, there is money attached to this. There's a whole infrastructure around fossil fuels. There are people who rely on that for their income. And I don't want to downplay that being a very real concern. And I think my issue is that these companies and the people who support them have doubled down so hard on this and refused to engage with alternatives and ways that we can help people have jobs in things that are more sustainable and better for the environment, better for our long-term future as humanity on this planet. We have these solutions. They exist. I see them every day. I talk to experts and scientists and innovators. We basically have just about everything we need to make the transition to renewable energy, to some more sustainable tech. Have good paying jobs and can get to where they're going without it costing an arm and a leg. All of these solutions are available to us. What we lack is the political will and the, you know, kind of forcing at this point corporations to do the right thing, yeah, as opposed to, as we talked about, this sunk cost fallacy of just doubling down and be like, no, we like making our money this way. We don't really care about the consequences.
And to me, it seems like just kind of an unwillingness to evolve. Right. And I think it's part of it is just like you talked about with the sunk cost fallacy. You talked about it, you know, with the changing economics that surround these pipelines and what have you. But it just, to me, it seems like they're just so dug in. So many people are so dug in to this certain way. And I think, you know, it came up at certain points in the presidential campaign last year where, you know, Donald Trump was talking about, yeah, we don't need these EV charging stations or whatever it might be. And I think there's just like this, and it goes back to what you said. It's about political will, and it's about this like kind of like stubborn unwillingness to evolve in a lot of ways. And you know, as you really point out in the piece this week, is that it's not just the, you know, that they want to bring gas prices down or have this type of system. It's not always an economic reason for this. Part of it is just the stubborn unwillingness to evolve. And I guess this is just kind of my take on it, but I think that's a problem in a lot of fields right now, right? But I don't know to what extent, like, to what can people do, you know, from a public pressure standpoint and from just like, you know, legislators, people in Madison, whatever, like what's the action that could be taken to start to take some incremental steps towards an actual evolution on this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there's a number of things we can do, and it can feel very overwhelming and doom and gloom right now. And certainly, I think we're all dealing with that. And it's,
whoa, what do you mean by that? No,
I have no idea. Picking the thing that you want to really focus on and finding the signal in the noise, I always say, like, what is the actual thing that is happening here versus like, there's lots of stuff to feel outraged about. There's lots of messaging to get us distracted by. But like the fundamental thing is we want to protect our communities. We want to protect people's ability to live their lives, feed their families, keep a roof over their head, like all these fundamental things. And it's not going to be through these industries that are simply not sustainable and that are also kind of this feedback loop of, you know, they get us bought in and this is the one job you can get in your area. It's the only way you can support yourself. So, but it's actually destroying your entire community. In the meantime, it's destroying your health. It's destroying the world around you. That's not sustainable. So we need to put all pressure on our elected officials. We need to, it's not just voting. It's every day, whenever you can, it's writing letters, it's calling, it's leaving messages. They pay attention to that stuff. Mm-hmm. It goes on in the record. They have to log it. So even just making like 5 minutes a day to call your representatives and tell them what you care about and what you want them to do, it's showing up, especially locally, when you have you know, any local town boards, things like that have control over some of these permitting processes and understanding what's going on. Anytime you can show up and use your voice and put pressure on people who are elected, or go get elected yourself and work on this stuff if you have the ability to do that. Building community, find people who are already doing this work, plugging in and finding a way that you can add capacity to that work. There are so many people who are already working on these issues. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You just got to get plugged in.
Emily, I do want to end with one text that came in from Ken Bob from Dailyville. He says, I'm an active liberal. I couldn't disagree more. We are not yet capable of doing without oil for energy. We'll never be able to do without it for lubrication, petrochemicals, and plastics. The line will have to be moved. Pipelines are the best way of doing it. They have the best record, the lowest environmental impact. But it's a point of vulnerability that should be addressed. I wanted to get Ken Bob's chance to comment on there. Thank you, Emily Mills. Check out the article in the recombobulation area. We will include it in the show notes after the show is over. Stay close. News is next. You're listening to Matinee on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
A court case drawing national attention in Crawford County had its most recent update yesterday. A man with alleged ties to a Venezuelan gang appeared in court for a number of charges, including sexual assault, child abuse, and battery, which happened last fall in Prairie du Chien. The case is drawing attention due to the suspect's immigration status. The suspect, Alejandro Coronel Zarate, is a suspected member of a gang that President Donald Trump is adding to a list of foreign terrorist groups. The next court date is set for March. After just 2 weeks, one of La Crosse's ice rinks is now closed for the season. Pogue Park's rink, which had only been open for 11 days between January 14th and this past Monday, is now closed for the season due to unsuitable ice conditions. On Wednesday, Riverside Park also announced that its rink was closed until further notice due to warm temperatures. The Oktoberfest Shelter Rink, which is an indoor rink, is still open. For more information on La Crosse skating rinks, you can visit the La Crosse Parks and Rec website. Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Brian Hagedorn said yesterday he is recusing himself from an upcoming case that will decide the fate of Act 10, which was passed in 2011 and took away collective bargaining rights from some state workers. Hagedorn was one of the authors of the legislation when it passed. Hagedorn's recusal leaves six justices to decide the case, four liberal and two conservative. Republicans say lawmakers are now calling on Justice Janet Protasiewicz to recuse herself as well after she said she thought the law was unconstitutional before being elected to the state Supreme Court. Absentee ballots have been sent out by election clerks around the state as the spring primary arrives on February 18th. On Tuesday, in-person absentee voting begins, and the deadline to request an absentee ballot is on February 13th. The spring primary will be held on February 18th statewide from 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. You can visit the Wisconsin Election Commission's website for more information. To check on your registration status or to see what's on your ballot, go to myvote.wi.gov. You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go by downloading the free app. Get it now at civicmedia.us or on your device's app store.
For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Well, the murder weapon was never recovered and there were no eyewitnesses, but most people still think OJ did it, including OJ. According to Simpson's doctor, Simpson took the truth to his grave. Why is there yet another docuseries about this horribly tragic true crime story? Because obviously people can't get enough of it. American Manhunt, O.J. Simpson, is a new four-part docuseries featuring interviews with police, lawyers who were on the case, Simpson's agent, and Ron Goldman's sister, Kim. American Manhunt is available on Netflix. Speaking of Netflix, as we often do, when launching a new talk show, it's important to somehow make it unique and give it an identity separate from other talk shows. Comedian John Mulaney will host a talker on the streamer that has been the home to many of his stand-up comedy specials. Not many details have been released, and that is on purpose, according to Mulaney, who says this was the perfect match because he never wanted to do a talk show, and Netflix was getting out of the talk show game. I'm officially curious. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Bright, beautiful, and still mild today with highs soaring to the low 40s. While it may be cooler than yesterday, it's still well above average. And heads up, we have snow moving in tomorrow afternoon. It'll be light, less than a half an inch, and it could flip to a wintry mix and rain by Saturday night. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 40 degrees at our studios.
The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a TGIF edition of the show. Mr. Zomeros will have a board game of the week and review the day's headlines. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, my guest co-host for the day. Greg Bach will be back next Tuesday. And, of course, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Sports fans, we got hockey tonight. Wisconsin at Minnesota, our broadcast starts at 6:30, and you can catch that action tonight on WFHR, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM in Wisconsin Rapids. Tomorrow, we got men's hoops, Wisconsin at Northwestern. That broadcast starts at noon. Listen on WLAK in Amory, WFHR in the Rapids, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, and WRCE, Richland Center. That is tomorrow, men's basketball, Wisconsin at Northwestern, starting at noon. Wanted to talk about this because it is in theaters today. Lots of hype about this. I know Mayfair has it.
There's a lot of hype about this movie. A lot of different places around the area that you can see the movie, Green and Gold.
It's out. The trailer says, the poster says, sometimes you got to bet the farm. Green and Gold in theaters beginning today, January 31st. The movie tells the story of Buck, played by actor Craig T. Nelson, long established, very well respected actor.
The coach himself.
Coach himself. Absolutely. After a testy confrontation with an obnoxious banker who's also a Bears fan. Ooh.
Classic.
He bets his farm literally on the Packers winning the Super Bowl. This movie, directed and co-written by brothers Anders and David Lindwall. They also served as one of the film's producers. And they said, too, you know, it's a small movie. They were inspired by their grandfather, who was a dairy farmer in Wisconsin. Quote, we really wanted to give people a glimpse into not only the beauty of farming, but also the hardship of it. In addition, we wanted to show a rural community in the upper Midwest, something we feel has been underrepresented in cinema. Not just underrepresented, but shall we say misrepresented?
Yeah, definitely.
Our casting director kind of chuckled when we pitched Craig T. Nelson, but he loved the script, called us, interviewed us on what our vision for the film was, and he was an immediate yes.
That's so great.
Isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's great to see this movie come together. You know, we're in this kind of like week in between for the NFL playoffs before the Super Bowl.
Right.
So if you want your football fix, right, this is a good weekend to go out to the movie theater to check that one out, support some, support the Wisconsin connection. There's always a Wisconsin connection.
We're like six degrees of separation from everything.
Literally everything. I always have this bit on Twitter where there's like always a Wisconsin connection whenever there's a big story, and what's more Wisconsin than a story involving dairy farms and the Green Bay Packers?
Absolutely.
Right?
Oh, my goodness. It couldn't be more scony than that. Anders Lindwall also offered actors, including Craig T. Nelson and Madison Lawler, who plays Nelson's granddaughter, a crash course in farming, which included filming a scene with these actors involving the actual birth of a calf.
Oh, really getting into it there.
Nitty and gritty. You can do a visual effects, says Anders, but we were set on authenticity. When you're on the farm, life and death is so present. So to make sure that we got it, we had a secondary camera team set up at a farm. It was a lot of waiting in the freezing cold for this calf to arrive. It felt like we were on a National Geographic shoot. This from an article in WPR, by the way, talking about the movie Green and Gold. Hitting theaters today.
So I was just looking up the Rotten Tomatoes reviews like during the break here. Critically important Rotten Tomatoes. It's at a 69 on Rotten Tomatoes, which is pretty good.
That's pretty high for Rotten Tomatoes.
I think that's pretty good. And I was just looking at some of the initial reviews that were coming out. Richard Roper, Chicago Sun-Times, wrote, even those of us who bleed navy blue and burnt orange can embrace the messaging and the spirit of Green and Gold. So if we've got Bears fans coming around on this.
That's pretty high praise.
It must be a really good one. So maybe there's like a, you know, adjusted Rotten Tomatoes score for Wisconsin. Maybe a 69 for the national reviews equates to like a 95.
I was going
to
say
for Wisconsin. Yeah.
Pretty much. It's interesting too, in this article about some of the musicians who they got to take part in this. They worked with Sean Carey, who's part of Bon Iver.
Bon Iver?
Bon Iver, that too.
Yeah.
Yes, the cousin of that. And
again, very Wisconsin.
Right? And Jackson Brown.
Oh, how about that?
Jackson Brown opened up his songbook for the Lindahl brothers. Jackson Brown found our movie through some Door County connections. He apparently spends time up there.
Wow.
And we managed to get our movie in front of him. He basically just gave us his songs to put in the film. He's a special guy.
Wow, that's very cool.
Most artists would never do that.
No.
Especially for a small, relatively independent film
like
this.
Right, right. These licensing deals are always such a big thing now for you musicians, especially, you know, in this day and age.
Where, oh, yeah.
You're not selling CDs and albums and stuff like that like they were in the 90s. So it's like, you know, it's a real, like a generous... Yeah, there's a lot of good vibes.
There really are.
Around this movie.
Yeah,
right?
it's got a whole warm, fuzzy feeling about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially as we learn more about it with things like this, that's pretty cool. Green and Gold, the movie has won audience awards at the Austin Film Festival and the Heartland International Film Festival. In addition to those, they had, and you may have missed this. Again, with the fire hose of stuff that's coming out every day from so many different directions.
Yeah, what do you mean, Jane? What could I possibly be inundated with?
But they held a red carpet premiere at Lambeau Field in early January. Attendees included much of the cast, members of the Packers organization, film investors. That was followed up by Craig T. Nelson, who stars in this movie, singing the national anthem at Lambeau before the Packers-Bears game earlier this month on January 5th.
That's incredible. That's great stuff.
That's pretty darn cool.
Yeah. And I've seen, too, in some of the promotions, friend of the Civic Media Network, Charlie Behrens.
He's in it, too.
Has been part of the promotion for this, doing some bits with Craig T. Nelson, you know, just some little online stuff and whatever. And that's been pretty fun to see around, too.
Charlie plays a sports announcer, I think.
That's going to work. See, that alone is going to work. I got a chance to do a live podcast event with Charlie Behrens last fall before the election.
Yeah.
In Milwaukee. And like he's really a nice guy. And I think that type of, he's got a little bit of a journalism background. And so that's kind of like led to his whole Manitowoc Minute and that whole thing.
Oh,
so
that
I
makes
think
sense.
It's just going to be, you know, pitch perfect casting, I think, for that type of role, too.
Anders Lindwall about Charlie Behrens' performance says, of course, he nails the culture of the film's location so well. We have almost an 11-minute reel of Charlie just riffing. And it was really hard to figure out what to use because all of it was so funny.
Oh, they should just put that out to promote the thing. Just the 11 minutes of Charlie riffing.
Absolutely. Yeah. That would be like Euchre's best outtakes.
Oh, I know.
You know?
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. And Charlie, you know, he's got such an interesting sense of humor with these things. And so I'm really interested to see, you know, kind of how that shows up on screen.
Sue from Franklin texting in, listening on WAUK. We went to the Green and Gold premiere last week, and it was wonderful. Highly recommend. It's really a feel-good movie. You will laugh and cry. I read it was only playing for a week, so don't miss it. I'll check on that, Sue. I'm not sure how long it's going to be in theaters, but it is a smaller film.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you want to...
kind of like in the Oscar season, whatever, yep. There's lots of, yeah.
So if you want to check it out, I wouldn't necessarily wait. Todd from De Pere, listening on WGBW, only 85% of Bears fans approve of Green and Gold because they're still stuck in 1985. Ooh! Ouch.
Yikes.
If you have seen it, I would love to hear from you as well. If you happen to catch a premiere of Green and Gold, let us know what you thought about it. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. I'm trying to think of the last time, except for that documentary that came out about the Brewers season, which I know Todd all but talked about a lot on his show, just a bit outside.
Yep.
Which was a big hit.
I think that had like Rotten Tomatoes in the 90s too.
That was
very well received.
But other than these two, I'm trying to think of the last time Wisconsin was featured prominently in a major film.
So I know there was one a couple of years ago that Steve Carell was a part of and John Stewart like was one of the producers of it. And like when it got announced, I was really excited. It was about this like local small town politician and stuff like that. It was a huge flop.
Did you see it?
I did see it. It was not very good. And I'm like a huge, huge John Stewart fan.
Me too. Generally.
And it was just kind of a flop. So that was a little bit of a disappointment. But yeah, you know, you don't always get like Wisconsin representation in these types of movies or anything either.
Well, and as we said too, not accurate representations.
Yeah.
Great for, you know, stereotypes. And if you know, people want to make fun of us.
That's right.
Nobody makes fun of us except us.
You gotta, you know, poke fun at yourself.
Exactly.
If somebody makes fun of us, absolutely not. If we're making fun of ourselves, that's
fine.
Great. Absolutely.
Sure. That's a rule.
Yeah.
Everyone should know that. A Sue from Franklin says, I'm going to see it again tomorrow. Well, now you got me really curious, Sue. We'll have to check some of those times. I think you said
There's one at Mayfair this afternoon. And I think most of the Marcus theaters are showing it multiple times throughout the day, throughout the weekend here. So, you know, settle into one of those dream loungers and
relax
and watch those.
And enjoy the glory that we're not going to see next weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Again, if you've seen it, if you plan to see it, let us know at 855-752-4842. We're talking about the movie Green and Gold, starring Craig T. Nelson, about a farmer in Wisconsin who has a confrontation with a nasty Chicago Bears fan banker. What could be worse?
I mean,
what could be worse?
Exactly.
And so Craig T. Nelson's character bets the farm literally on the Packers winning the Super Bowl. Feel good movie. I would imagine that's something you could even take your children to.
See, that's always the thing for me, because it's like I don't get to see a lot of movies in theaters because I saw, you know, Moana 2 with my daughter. And so like that I'll see in theaters. But it's like movies that I'm going myself.
It's so hard
to go to, because it's like, if you know, we got to get the babysitter, we got to get all the different things and blah, blah, blah. So I, you know, I will joke that like the Golden Globes was a couple weeks ago, and they do like all of the movies for the Golden Globes. I've seen none of the movies, but I've seen all of the TV shows because I am home.
That makes sense.
And watching, you know, the whatever the big show is after my kids go to bed.
But
right now, Severance is the big show that I'm into.
Is it? Is it depressing?
It's a little bit. It has like a certain bleakness to it, but it's so well done, and it is such an interesting show and approach, and it kind of reminds me of like watching Lost. Like a few years, you know,
I loved
Lost when it has this kind of like, you know, you're kind of like Alice in Wonderland.
What's going
down
on?
That, you know, you're trying to figure out how far down the rabbit hole you need to go to really figure out what's going on with it. That's the show I'm really into right now. They new episodes come out on Friday, so that's what I'm doing tonight.
Well, I may have to check that out, because I was when Angela Lang was here yesterday and we were talking about, I am so bored with everything on Netflix and HBO and Hulu and Amazon Prime. The other night I went to bed at 7:45.
All right. We got to get you a new show then. Actually, I heard you talking about one show that you really liked on HBO, Hacks.
Hacks is so good.
I love Hacks.
It's so good.
It's hilarious.
It is. And Jean's, I have so much admiration for Jean Smart being able to sustain her career for decades.
Yes.
And she's just as funny and as brilliant as she's ever been.
And all the awards she's getting for it are so well deserved.
Absolutely.
And I love the other character. I'm blanking on
Hannah.
Her. Hannah, yes.
Well, the actress's name is Hannah. She's Lorraine Newman's daughter.
Oh, really?
From Saturday Night Live. Hannah Einbinder.
Wow. How about that?
Look what you learn when you listen to this program.
I know. There's so many different
things to get one thing in a day. All right. Stay with us when we return. This shouldn't be a thing. It's 'tis the season not to move to Florida. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Keeping you connected to your local community with good news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
There is something about comfort food, especially if it keeps you connected to family and your favorite recipes when you're away from home. A UW La Crosse program, Recipes from Home, is helping students there by bringing a taste of their childhood right to campus. Parents submit their family favorite recipes, and if picked, the featured meal is made and served to everyone at the dining hall. The student's name, hometown, and recipe is displayed next to the food. Now, some of the recipes from home enjoyed by all this winter range from chicken chili to bacon ranch tater tot casserole. Both students and parents agree a familiar meal can create a delicious, just right moment for all. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Dan Schaefer in for Greg Bach. He will be back next Tuesday. And Sweet Kelby on the board coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Right before the break, we were talking about Green and Gold. The movie hits theaters today. About the Green Bay Packers and a farmer in northern Wisconsin. A couple other suggestions of things to watch, because I was whining about how there's nothing to watch. Texter on WAUK says, try BritBox. They have great programs. I've heard other people talk about that. If you enjoy that very British sense of humor, BritBox is a good thing to check out. Mark from Prairie du Sac says, have you ever seen the indie movie Sweetland? I have not.
Haven't heard of that one.
I will have to check that out as well. Thank you for the suggestions. Right now, though, just about 11:53, Calvin, that means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
That delay kind of fits in with what we're going to be talking about, Calvin. That was really well executed. Headline reads from the HuffPost... Experts issue warning about falling iguanas in Florida. Quote, it's going to happen, says biologist Joe Wesolewski. If it's in the 50s, they're slow. If they're in the 40s, they're on the brink of falling. And if it's in the 30s, they're down. This is a phenomenon. This is not a new phenomenon, but every time it comes up, it makes me laugh. You've heard about this, haven't you?
I have heard about this, yes.
When temperatures drop in Florida, Dan, so do the iguanas.
It's so bizarre.
It's truly.
Falling iguanas.
Falling iguanas. The cold-blooded creatures commonly live in treetops in Florida, but they tend to pass out when it gets cold. As a result, the hibernating lizards lose their grips on branches and fall to the ground or on an unfortunate passerby. Considering that iguanas can grow up to 5 feet long and weigh as much as 25 pounds, it's no wonder experts now issuing warnings about the potential chance of injury from reigning reptiles.
It's so bizarre. It's so bizarre. It's so, you know, I've lived in the Midwest pretty much my whole life, and just seeing like this kinds of thing, it's watching out for falling reptiles. Now the thing with this is like, you know, when they fall out of the trees, yeah, they're not dying.
No, they're not dead. Right?
And
no.
And it's just like they pass out and fall out of the tree
from the cold.
Yes. And so like I guess you have to be wary of, you know, what happens next too.
When they wake up. I mean, well, right. Are people just finding them and then throwing them in a garbage can or something? I don't know.
Or you know, what if you they wake up and all of a sudden they're just running around your yard or something like that? I don't know.
Wazalewski said falling iguana season.
There's a season.
Falling iguana season is often a shock to snowbirds and transplants. When it gets cold like this, because it was Florida and the whole southeastern area got hit by this big cold snap at the beginning of this month.
Yeah.
When it gets cold like this, it's funny to those who aren't from here to see the news people talking about iguanas falling from trees, but it can and will happen. Michelle Ronquillo, who is a professional iguana remover.
That's a job.
That is a job. Suggests people minimize the chance of being hit by a falling iguana by trimming back your trees from rooftops, wrapping your trees with material iguanas can't grip, or by installing a fake owl as a deterrent to any wannabe iguana.
So in Wisconsin, we got to clean our gutters, you know, to make sure that they're safe. In Florida, you have to trim your trees because of falling iguanas season.
Exactly.
Yeah.
5 feet long, 25 pounds. That's not a small thing.
No, it's not.
Well, watch your heads in Florida. To me, again, this is just another reason never to move there. They have crocodiles that can eat your pets. Roaches the size of small cars. And now falling iguana season.
Falling iguana season. I used to live over by Brady Street in Milwaukee.
Yes.
And a lot of characters on Brady Street.
No
when
doubt.
You, when you live on Brady Street in Milwaukee. And there was one guy who would have a pet iguana. And he would walk up and down Brady Street with like, you know, I don't know if it was
on
like
a leash
or something. Like, yeah, it was kind of like it was on a leash. But on Brady Street in Milwaukee to have a pet iguana. So do they have pet iguanas in Florida too? So like they fall out of the tree. Hey, I'm gonna
you're my pet.
Now you're mine. Now
I'm
you belong
you
to me. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up on Monday, it's February.
Finally. The end of the longest January in the history of January.
January has been a very long year. Monday, February 3rd, Emily Zephos is going to be back to join me as a guest co-host. And then it's Beyond the Cheese is back. We're going to do this once a month. We highlight a business or an industry in Wisconsin unrelated to dairy. On Monday, we're going to talk to Samantha Sankin, who owns Midwest Sad. You didn't even know what that is.
Okay.
It's a food cart, and it's called Midwest Sad, which made me laugh so hard. It's like, we have to get her. So that's coming up on Monday with Beyond the Cheese. Coming up, of course, we have news. Todd Alba from noon to 2. Maggie Dawn, 2 to 4. Dom Salvia, 4 to 6 p.m. And then Pete Schwabba with Nightlight. Thank you, Dan and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend, just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you Monday.
Eagle 1490 AM. Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we'll talk about the controversy over how test scores are rated in Wisconsin schools and connect the dots to neglect from the legislature.
Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. Sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. After this week's mid-air collision of an American Airlines jet and military helicopter, officials say all 67 are presumed dead. The FAA is no longer giving permission for the low-altitude helicopter routes around Reagan National Airport for the time being. ABC's Gio Benitez says air traffic has been increasing at DCA.
Just over 24 hours before Wednesday's crash, a different regional jet did what's called a go-around maneuver when landing at Reagan Airport due to a Black Hawk helicopter in the same area. Safety concerns have been increasing in the airspace around Reagan Airport. The airport was designed to accommodate 15 million passengers each year, but now sees more than 25 million a year. Congress voted just last year to add more flights.
President Trump could impose tariffs on goods